Well, hey there, friends, and welcome to the New Testament in a Year podcast. I'm Sean Bailey, and I get to read some scripture with you today and unpack what the Lord has us today. We're continuing our journey on day number 79. Day number 79, and we'll be in Matthew chapter 11. Matthew 11. So grab your Bible if you can and listen closely if you will. Let's read God's word together. All right. As we begin to journey into Matthew 11, we need to remember what we just read in our previous episode in Matthew chapter 11. We saw Jesus call his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits and gave them the ability to heal every sickness and disease. And then he sent them out. And when he sent them out, he told them to proclaim the kingdom of heaven. And while they're doing that, to not take anything with them, but to rely on the hospitality of those they would come across with. And if they didn't accept them and didn't welcome them, they told them to shake the dust off their feet. Jesus also prepared them for that persecution that would come. They told him, he promised them that. Be ready for that. But also, encourage them. Encourage them to do not have fear. Do not let the fear of man win. Instead, be fearless and proclaim his message with great boldness. And encourage them to do that and send them out. And they would do that. And now that kind of gives us the pathway to go into chapter 11 now. And in Matthew chapter 11, we're going to see a mix of these words, affirmation, but also confrontation. And then also some reflection all happen together as Jesus begins to come across and interact with different groups of people and different individuals. We'll see John the Baptist right off the bat. And so let's start there with our look for us before I just start paraphrasing the scripture to you. Our big three. Here's our big three look for us of what we're about to read in Matthew chapter 11. Kind of some things to keep our eyes peeled for. The first thing to listen for is the question that John the Baptist poses. Look for his question to Jesus. And think about when he asks this question. A man that seems to be of great faith. Ask yourself, why did he doubt? Why may he have doubted? And then notice how Jesus responds using the evidence of his works. And then reflect on that. And I encourage you to do that. And we will. The next big thing to look for is Jesus's testimony about John. As John does this, listen how Jesus describes John the Baptist. And it's amazing. Like, could you imagine being John and hearing Jesus say that there is none greater than John? His testimony about John is great. But also, I want us to think about the idea of the least in the kingdom of heaven being greater than John. Listen for that to come up in the context that it's stated in. And then finally, our last look for is watch how Jesus reacts to the cities that don't repent. They didn't repent despite seeing the amazing miracles, many of them. They still did not repent. And the sorrow that he has. Think about the importance of repentance in response to Jesus' miracles. They saw with their own eyes and still rejected Jesus' message. Watch how this plays out in this chapter today, Matthew chapter 11. So let's jump right into it. What do you say? Matthew chapter 11, we'll start together in Matthew 11, verse 1, and we'll read all the way through verse 30 together. Let's start in verse 1. As John the Baptist presents some doubts. Let's listen for that together. Verse 1, Matthew chapter 11. Here we go. When Jesus had finished giving instructions to his 12 disciples, he moved on from there to teach and preach in their towns. Now, when John heard in prison that what the Christ was doing, he sent a message through his disciples and asked him, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" Jesus replied to them, "Go and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, those with leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor are told the good news, and blessed is the one who isn't offended by me." As these men were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed swaying in the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothes? See, those who wear soft clothes are in royal palaces. When then did you go out to see? What did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written." And then he quotes Old Testament scripture from Malachi 3:1. "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you. He will prepare your way before you." And then verse 11, Jesus continues, "Truly I tell you, among those born of women, no one greater than John the Baptist has appeared. But the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been suffering violence, and the violent have been seized by its force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you're willing to accept it, he is the Elijah who is to come. Let anyone who has ears listen." Verse 16. "To what shall I compare this generation? It's like children sitting in the marketplaces who call out to their children, 'We played the flute for you, but you didn't dance. We sang a lament, but you didn't mourn.' For John came neither eating nor drinking. And they say, 'He has a demon.' The Son of Man came eating and drinking. And they say, 'Look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds." And then he proceeded to denounce the towns where most of his miracles were done because they did not repent. And Jesus said, "Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the miracles that were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented in sackcloth and ashes long ago. But I tell you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon on the day of judgment than you. And you, Capernaum, who will you be exalted in heaven? No, you will go down to Hades. For if the miracles that were done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until today. But I tell you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom on the day of judgment than for you." At that time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, because this was your good pleasure. All things have been entrusted to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone whom the Son desires to reveal him. Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, because I am lowly and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And that is Matthew chapter 11. Let's take a moment now to reflect on what we just read and find some application. And so here we are. In Matthew chapter 11, we saw John the Baptist and his doubting, and the way Jesus responded with the evidence of his miracles. We saw his testimony about John. It says there's none greater than John. And then we saw Jesus' sorrow and anger, and frustration, really, towards the cities that he performed these miracles in. They still did not repent, even though they saw firsthand the Son of God do these amazing miracles on earth. And so we closed, however, with this statement you may have heard before, this scripture that Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary, all of you are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, because I'm lowly and I'm humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light." Those last few verses of Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30, are things you may have heard before, but didn't really connect with it and understand what Jesus is trying to say. You see, in the closing verses, Jesus offers rest. Rest. And rest means different things to different people depending upon the state of life we're in, right? If we're in an exciting time of our life and it's wonderful and we're experiencing wonderful blessings, then we don't want the rest. We want that to continue to come. But if we are weary and burdened, as the scripture says, if we're going through tough trials and difficulties and we just feel like the weight of the world is on us and we're just being hit left and right, well, Jesus is saying, "Hey, you don't have to suffer through that. I will take that from you. You can find the spiritual rest that your soul truly needs through Jesus." And I use that word rest, the peace, right? Peace unlike any other that only Jesus can give you. And that means everyone. It's a fully inclusive statement that Jesus is extending to everyone who just acknowledges their need for him. So try to find areas of your life. Think about areas of your life that you can offer. Say, this burden, this anxiety, this worry that I continue to, this weighs me down. Don't let it. Jesus knows the weight it carries on you and knows just how we can be impacted negatively from that. When we're trying to serve the world and love on the world, when we're carrying our own baggage, we can find rest by spending time in prayer, by reading scripture and trusting in the promises of Jesus. We can find that rest by offering it to him. I encourage you to do that today. Our second takeaway is responding to miracles, because I think it's pretty practical, but also it can speak to us individually. See, Jesus performed so many miracles, which were signs. The purpose of his miracles were signs that pointed to his divine nature. Signs that pointed to his role as Messiah. Yet many people in the cities that he visited and saw that firsthand still didn't repent. And we're just kind of flabbergasted that, what? If I saw firsthand, my goodness, how amazing would that have been? But I want us to think about the amazing miracles that God has done in our lives. Reflect on how we responded to those. Okay, thanks, Lord. Good deal. And I'm just going to do my own thing. Or did we let those change us like we thought it should have changed all those that were unrepentant? So, the importance of us acknowledging the daily miracles, miracles of life. I mean, those things that just blow us away. Wow, we can just be in awe and look outside at the amazing miracle of creation, right? Miracles are all around us, the expressions of God's grace in our lives, what we've given and we don't deserve, the blessings we have as compared to so many people that don't have it. Having that perspective, seeing the miracles we've been given, and letting it result in our repentant hearts being in awe of our amazing Creator. And then the final takeaway for today is dealing with doubt. Our chapter opened up with John the Baptist experiencing doubt, but this teaches us that doubt is a common part of faith, even for one of the most faithful men. We all have doubts, and that's okay. If you think your doubt is because of your lack of knowing Jesus, or that something's wrong with you inherently, no. You see, personal doubts are a common part of faith. And what we need to know is that faith is reinforced as that enemy of doubt. You know, in Romans 10:17, it says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the words of Jesus Christ. Hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and continuing to hear reinforces that faith, hearing His words. So our faith that is built and strengthened by continually digging into God's word is that faith that combats the doubt that can creep up. And that's normal, and that's okay. But we are reassured of our faith when we dig into the scripture. Right? So, not only getting the scripture, but just being transparent with God. When you're in your conversation with the Lord in prayer, say, Lord, I'm struggling with this doubt. Help me to fully believe. Help me to believe just completely. Right? Lord, I want to believe. And the Lord will provide that if we are seeking that, right? If you look in Mark 9:4, it says immediately, Father, the child cried out and he said, I believe, help my unbelief. And that should be comforting. If we've struggled with doubt, it shows us that it's possible to believe while we're still grappling with those uncertainties of life. We don't know it all. It's okay. We're not gifted to fully understand everything. That's okay. Seek God in your moments of doubt. Dig in His word. Let that faith come by hearing and hearing. And then let prayer be transparent with the Lord that you're struggling with areas of doubt. Connect with your faith community, other believers. Share that with them so that you can be reinforced. Because where your doubt is an opportunity for your faith to grow. Amen to that. I can speak to that personally as well. Find those opportunities to grow and see God show up in big ways. All right, that wraps us up today. Thanks for joining me. Matthew chapter 11, a lot of good stuff there. Right, looking forward to tomorrow, or to the next episode. I think Matthew 12, absolutely, is where we're going in Matthew chapter 12, and I look forward to chapter 12 because in our next episode, there Jesus is going to tell us what it truly means to honor the Sabbath, but he's also going to face some increased opposition from the Pharisees. We're going to see a lot of lessons about what God values most in chapter 12. So thanks for joining me today. May you be blessed. May your family be blessed. And may all that you do be to bless others and strive to do just that. Have a great day. Thank you for listening to the New Testament in a Year podcast, where we simply read the Word of God and we try to unpack it so we can find application in our lives, knowing that there is nothing more powerful than God's word. You see, scripture is the only source that teaches us who God is and what God wants of us. My encouragement is that the word of God will bless you and ultimately bless your friends and family. I'll encourage you to share this podcast with your friends, share it on your social media or by word of mouth. Join in, let's read the word of God together. And through this, may God be glorified through our reading, listening, application, and understanding of his word together.